Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. And we ask that your Spirit can fill this place. As we open the Bible this morning, we pray that you can give us guidance, that we can understand the message that you have for all of us this morning. We pray for the people who didn't come today, that you can bless them. I pray that you can speak through me, O Lord. I pray all of that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you notice in the bulletin, the topic that I'm going to be speaking about is Armageddon and the last seven plagues. And I kind of think what you might be wondering about this topic. So if you have been a Seventh-day Adventist for a long time, this will be a good opportunity for you to review one of the most important fundamental beliefs for the Seventh-day Adventist. If you are maybe a visitor, maybe this will be a good message for you, because when you leave this church, you will understand that God has a plan of salvation, that God wants you to be saved. So at the end of this sermon, my prayer is for all of you that you can be committed to Jesus. After we study those prophetic events that are going to happen soon. How soon, we don't know, but they will certainly happen. Now, Armageddon and the last seven plagues. You know, when people think of Armageddon, sometimes they think of something terrible that is going to happen. And, you know, as I was putting this sermon together, I came across some quotations of two important people in the history of the United States. And one of them was just after the World War II, General Douglas MacArthur. He gave a famous speech, and he said, "We have had our last chance. If we do not devise a greater and more equitable plan, Armageddon will be at our door." Then, a few years later, President Ronald Reagan, he wrote in his diary, "Sometimes I wonder if we are destined to witness Armageddon." So those two people, they were sure about something, because the Bible says so. Armageddon is going to happen. But Armageddon in the Bible is presented in the context of an event that is going to happen, which is called the seven last plagues. So if you think, you know, if you talk to people about Armageddon, they might tell you that this is about maybe a nation that is taking over another nation. Or maybe they might say that Armageddon is about World War III. Other people might say that Armageddon is about, well, Hollywood prefers the idea that Armageddon is about a meteorite crashing the Atlantic Ocean and sweeping away New York City. But let me tell you that Armageddon is about none of those things. The Bible is very clear. Armageddon is presented in the Bible in the context of an event that is very important for us to know, and that is in the context of the seven last plagues. Now, you can open your Bibles with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 15. We're going to see today Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 16 as well. And we will study the seven last plagues. You know, when people say, when people think of seven last plagues, they think of what? They think of justice. They think of destruction. They think of disaster. They think of something terrible is going to happen. But we will discover today, this morning, that the plagues written in the Bible reveal, among other things, God's mercy to the righteous. It reveals the true character of the lost. And it reveals the true character of God, whom the Bible says is not only a God of love. The Bible says that God is what? That God is love. So this morning, we will investigate the seven last plagues. But before we do that, it is important to remember that prophecy is written in the Bible not to instill fear in anyone. The seven last plagues are not written in the Bible for you to be terrified. Armageddon is not written in the Bible for you to feel scared. The seven last plagues are written in the Bible and prophecy in general because God knows that when you study that with eyes that are open, sooner or later you will have a bigger picture of Jesus. That's why God gave prophecy, so that we can see Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, many people, they wonder if we are already living the seven plagues. I happened to be, like 3 months ago in a church, and the pastor was preaching about this topic, and it was very interesting. So that's why I decided to get into that and study more of that by myself. And then when he was talking to the congregation, he said, how many people here believe that the seven last plagues are happening right now? Almost half of the church raised their hands. And they said, yeah, they are happening right now. And we can see them in the pandemics of AIDS, the pandemics of the swine flu. But, you know, the Bible is very clear, and the Bible says that the seven last plagues are not here yet. And people, they tend to borrow or take whatever is happening in the world right now, and they might say, you know, right now we're living the seven last plagues, but we are not. And that's why I decided to bring this message, not because you don't know about the seven last plagues, because we are living a difficult time, and we need to understand what is going to happen just before Jesus comes for the second time. Now, if you open the Bible with me to Revelation chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, but before I go over that, I want to mention that the plagues that are coming, they are almost identical to the ones that fell upon the Egyptians when God was trying to deliver them. They will be a literal event. Sometimes when you go to the book of Revelation, you find there many symbols such as beast and horns and lake of fire, and you say, wow, what kind of God is this? But let me tell you this morning that at this point, in this time, the seven last plagues speaks of the justice of God. So this morning I can say to you that it is enough for you to know that the seven last plagues are happening. Because at that time, if you remember back then, the seven last plagues, actually it wasn't seven, 10 plagues, they fell upon the Egyptians. And we know that 3 of the plagues affected the Israelites and the Egyptians. But 7 of them affected whom? The enemies of God. So now here, in the closing time, we know that we're going to have 7 last plagues, but who is going to be affected? Who? Only the enemies of God. Only the enemies of God will be protected. So we must make sure that we are friends of God. So that's why this topic is so important. Now, as I said in Revelation 15:1, it says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, you may read that verse, and you might focus maybe on the last part of it that says the wrath of God. So before you do that, I want you to focus on the love of God. And we will see that God brings the 7 plagues to the world because he has a plan, because he is a God of justice. And especially, we have to remember that at the end of the time, when all these events come, we will be protected. The people of God will be protected. The Bible says so. So that's why we do not be afraid. We are living in a time that is relevant in history. Now, if you read later in Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "And I heard a great voice of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and put out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Now, when is this? We know the Bible is very clear that at this time the everlasting gospel has been proclaimed. The mark of the beast issue has come to the world, and people will have decided if they stand behind the Lamb or behind the beast. Now, the first plague, it says that the first angel went and put out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. Now, pay attention that the first plague is a physical punishment. Now, when you think of it, you say, well, why do people take the mark of the beast anyways at the end of times? Remember, it will be said, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you will suffer. How many people want to suffer here? People say, oh, I do not want to suffer. So many people will give in and they will take the mark of the beast. That's why at the end of the times, it will require for you to have real faith, to be strong when all these trials come in the future. And it says here that the plague was basically sores that afflicted the enemies of God, and they were having really a hard time because of that. Now, let me tell you my suggestion of what these plagues means. These plagues means that all our physical security is only in Jesus Christ at any time and in any circumstances. You know, Jesus, He protects you. He wants to save everyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So that's why my suggestion of the first plague is that He wants you to surrender physically to Him. If you go to Revelation 16:3, you can check me out with your Bibles. It says, "Then the second angel put out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died." Now, pay attention at this point that God is sending those plagues for the enemies because He has a plan. He is a God of order. Now, you see the picture? We have the enemies of God. They have souls. They have I don't know how to call that, maybe infections. They are dying because of it. And then, what is going to happen? That God decides to send the following plague, which will be turning the oceans into blood. Now, can you imagine what that will do to the economy of the world? Just when people won't be able to do business, to ship automobiles, you know, food around the great oceans of the world. So at that time, if the world was not in complete strife financially, that would be the final nail in the coffin. But let me suggest to you what else that plague means. Remember, it will be said, if you do not take the mark of the beast, what is going to happen? You won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell. In other words, if you do take it, you will be protected how? Financially. So, my suggestion to you this morning is that that plague means that all our financial security is only in Jesus Christ, at any time and any circumstances. Now, remember what it says in Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God will provide for your needs. God will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will protect you. He will give you everything you need when you put Him first, financially, your personal life. So let's continue. In Revelation 16:4, it says, "Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and them became blood." So now, you might be getting the picture now. People, the enemies of God, they have the source. They are dying because of it. The oceans become blood. Now they need water to drink. So what happens now? The drinkable water is turning to blood. And then it says that they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. So, dear friends, God is just in doing this. And sometimes when you study Revelation, when you study Armageddon and the seven last plagues, sometimes there are things that you do not understand. But what is important here is that you have to understand that God is doing, and He will do whatever it takes to eradicate sin from the world. So that's why we don't have to understand everything. Now, see Revelation 16:8. We come with the following plague. It says here, "The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scourge men with fire." Sounds terrible, doesn't it? I don't like the plague too much. I just can imagine the sun being seven times hotter than it gets in the summer. But that's something that is going to happen. But remember, that will happen for whom? For the enemies of God. So if you are a friend of God, if you are faithful to Him, if you commit your life to Him, that will happen to you. Because God, what? He will protect you. He will fight for you. And it says here that men were scorched with the heat of the sun. And what is more interesting to me is that in the following verse, it says, "They blaspheme the name of God who has the power over this place, and they did not repent and give Him glory." So this plague shows you that God is a God of justice, that He's a merciful God. He gives people the opportunity to come to Him. He's all the time calling you. He wants you to surrender to Him. At that time, people are the enemies of God. They are having sores. They don't have water to drink. Now the sun is hitting the earth seven times, maybe hotter. And the only thing they do is what? They blaspheme God. So can you think of it? Can you imagine that someone at that time, one of those people, will stop and say, "What a fool have I been?" The Bible doesn't say so. It says that they will blaspheme the name of God. And then, we know that God, in His plan, will do whatever to save for those who deserve to be saved. And the laws that are going to be lost, it is because they deserve to be lost. Because God will give them opportunities to repent. And we know today, we live in a time, and that is the time of what? The time of provision. We do not know when the time of provision is going to close. So that is why we need to pay attention, and we need to really commit our lives to Jesus. Because soon, we don't know when the time of provision will close. And then, just then, if you decide to come to Him, it will be too late. So that is why today is the day. Now, let me just continue. I found that paragraph, sentences, in The Great Controversy by Ellen White. And she said, "But no one is made to suffer the wrath of God until the truth has been brought home to his mind and conscience. And then what? Has been rejected." So God will do everything He can to save His people. But also, he will do everything he can to eradicate sin from this planet. Now, let me continue. You see the picture there, and then it says, pride and stubbornness are the enemies of the Christians. You know, sometimes we feel that we do not have to give up things that we know that we are doing. Sometimes we think that we can wait until maybe we see some signs in heaven, or we see more signs that are occurring to finally commit our life to Jesus. And it is interesting that at the end of times, Sister White says that people will cling to their pride and stubbornness, and they will be lost. So we need to give up our pride, and we need to take the cross, and we need to follow Jesus. Now, Revelation 16, number 10 says, then the fifth angel put out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they know their tongues because of the pain. So it will be a great day in which darkness will be all over the world. People will agonize because of it. But let's remember that that will happen just on whom? The enemies of God. Verse 11, it says, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The great controversy can be understood when we study the seven last plagues. There is a fight between good and evil. We know that God is doing whatever he can to take your heart. But God knows that the devil is also working hard to do what? To deceive his people. At the end of the times, we see that the enemies of God, the only thing they do is they blaspheme the name of God. Now, let me suggest what it also means to you and for me. The plague means, you know, at the end of the time, those people will be living in darkness. But maybe today, somehow, you might be living in darkness too. Maybe you go outside, you know, you go to do your business in the world, and you realize how we are living in darkness already. So my suggestion to you is that the plagues means that we have to let the Word of God be your light. You know, in whatever we do, how we treat other people in your business, you know, how you treat other people in your business, in whatever we do, let the Word of God be your light. That's my suggestion of that plague. Then Revelation 16, number 12 says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great rivers, Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, this part of the verse, when it says that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared, let me tell you, these are not the armies from China, as one friend of mine was trying to show me. This is a host of angels, and Jesus himself who will come to do what? To save his people. Now, if you continue reading the Bible, just down to Revelation 16, you will find that one of the last plagues will be what? Thunders. It will be a great earthquake. Hailstones will fall on the enemies of God, and they will not repent. Now, when you think of it, when you think of the seven last plagues and what is going to come in the future, you might say, well, maybe this is something that I don't need to understand right now. This is some prophecy that will happen in the future that doesn't have to do anything with me. But the point of my sermon today is for you to understand that everything indicates that the second coming of Jesus is going to happen soon. How soon? We don't know. But everything indicates, if you see everything that is happening around the world, and you know what I mean, you can have the idea that we are living one of the most solemn times in history. Now, the question should be then, how may we prepare to escape those plagues? We already know that Jesus is going to be with his people. If you follow, if you are committed to him, he will protect you. You will see at the end of the time how God will deliver you from those plagues. But the only way that you can escape those plagues is by bringing yourself into harmony with what? The love of God by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can escape those plagues. Now, Revelation 14 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So at the end of the time, there will be two kinds of people. The saints. And there will be those people who decided to stand behind the beast. Now, where will you be? Where do you want to be? Are you making preparations for that day? It says, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole sermon, because it says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. It says, his eyes are open unto his prayers. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who is he that will harm you? If you are with God, nothing is going to happen to you. That is why we don't have to be afraid. Because we are what? We are chosen people. And already God knows that he will be protecting us and he will fight that battle, the battle of Armageddon, which in the end, the battle of Armageddon is nothing less of what? The mobilization of the powers of the world to eliminate the people of God. But we don't have to worry because God will fight for you and he will fight for me. You know, Psalm 91, verse 4, it says that I will cover you with my feathers and I will protect you under my what? Under my wings. So we don't have to worry about the seven last plagues. We need to understand what they are so we are not deceived. We need to understand prophecy. And that's why I decided today to talk about prophecy. Now, the time is coming. The time when Jesus will return. And as I said, we are living in difficult times. People in the world, they are postponing their decision. But there will be a time that it will be too late. I remember of a story a friend of mine told me this week. He's a student of theology. And he told me about this professor who was the day of graduation with his students. And he asked them, okay, I know that you are so happy today. So what's next now that you have your degree? And they say, well, professor, you know, now maybe we're going to go for a master's degree. Oh, great, yes. What's next? Well, maybe we will just continue for a PhD. Oh, good. What's next? Well, maybe we will just continue. We will marry. We will have families. And what's next? We will have kids. Oh, yes. But what's next for you? They say, well, I don't know. We will get old. We will have grandchildren. We will buy properties. But what's next? So they kept thinking and they said, well, next we will be dead, dead, dead. So what's next for you? What's next for you is the question. Will you be ready when Jesus comes the second time to stand before the Lord the day of the judgment? Will you be ready to do that? Now, Jesus is knocking at the door. And it says in the Bible, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't turn your back to Jesus. So maybe you have been in the church for a long time, but maybe you haven't really committed your life to Jesus. Maybe you have just been involved in the church, but you really haven't committed your life to Jesus. So maybe today is the day. You know, one pastor said, do not rob the opportunity to give Jesus that gift of having you in that place that he has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is already a place that we have that he prepared for me. And that makes me feel very happy, because there is a place that he already thought of me from the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible says. In the great controversy, you know, since I'm talking about the fundamental beliefs of all Seventh-day Adventists, there is a book which is called 27 Fundamental Beliefs. Now we know that we have 28, but if you happen to have the book, it will be a good experience for you to read and get acquainted with our doctrines as Seventh-day Adventists. And it says there, the great controversy will be ended, and sin will be no more. All things animate and inanimate will declare that God is love, and he shall reign forever. Amen. Now, the unique hope of every Christian is what? It's the second coming of Jesus. That is what drives you to be here this morning, because you believe, because you have a hope, because you know that Jesus is going to come for the second time, because you know that when Jesus comes, there won't be more what? There won't be more tears. There won't be more funerals. There won't be more destruction. There won't be more sorrow. There won't be more pain. When Jesus comes, he will come and take his children, his people, the chosen people. We are his chosen people. And he will come for the second time, and he will take us to that place that he has already prepared for you and for me. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thank you for prophecy. We give you thank you for the assurance that even in difficult times, you will still protect us. We want to commit our lives to you, and we want to renew that covenant that we made with you. We want to be ready when you come for the second time. And please, O Lord, prepare our hearts and forgive our sins. Be with us the rest of the day, the rest of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.